Verse 35, chapter 15, that's the question is asked. How are the dead raised? How are they raised? That's the question that we want to try to answer this morning in perspective to the concept of what the Word of God has to say to us. Point is, a man was a little late getting home, walking by the cemetery, decided to cut across. Dark night, couldn't see beyond his nose, didn't realize there was a fresh grave that had been dug, and it just happened he fell in it. And he tried and tried to the best of his ability to get out, and kept getting out, called for help. But he finally really realized he wasn't getting out, so he decided he might as well wait till daylight, and so he sat down in the back of a little corner and sat there and, of course, tried to fall asleep. And in the process, about an hour or so later, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, another man fell in the same gravesite. And he did the same thing, tried to get out, started crying for help and whatever else. And finally, the gentleman sitting down in the corner said, "You will never get out of here." But he did. Now, I'm not sure if that explains how the dead are raised. But I do know this, the Bible says that the hour is coming when all that are in the grave will hear His voice and will come forth, according to John 5:28. And they will come forth, and they will hear His voice. And it will permeate the grave and the dead of all people. The ocean shall give up their dead. Death and hell will give up their dead, and all that are in the grave. In fact, Paul said to the Thessalonians, related to Christian people, "I don't want you to be ignorant of this fact." He said, "The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive at His coming," meaning that there will still be those who are alive at the second coming, "will be caught up in the air with them, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord." Amen. Verse 29 of chapter 5, the Bible says of John, "Those who did and will be risen, those who did good deeds will be resurrected to life, and those who did evil will be resurrected to judgment." That means everyone's going to be raised from the dead. Everyone's going to be judged according to what they have done in the body, be it good or evil. And the perspective of that, when John wrote the book of Revelation, which seemingly everybody's interested in, I want you to understand it's Revelation, not shuns, plural. In other words, only one revelation John's given, and he gives you seven pictures of the same picture. It's like a negative being developed. And he just develops one thing, the other. And the end of it is, if you look at every time a seal is opened, everyone ends with the end of the world. But it just simply gets more dramatic as you read on within the context of the book of Revelation. But this is what he said toward the end of the book, chapter 20, verse 12 and 13, said, "I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up its dead, which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds." So in 1 Corinthians 15, you went on into chapter and verse 51 of that same chapter, you'll find Paul saying, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed." We shall all be changed. Verse 49 of chapter 15 said, "Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly." We know the earthly is temporary. The heavenly is eternal. That means everyone who is raised from the dead will be raised to eternal being, eternal life. And they are destined then in that eternal realm either to be with God or without Him. That's biblical concept. Now, if you don't like what the Bible says, then you can do what you want with it, throw it away, do whatever, and whatever the aspect of it is. But the point is, I believe, that if God is a righteous, holy God, then those who have done evil need to answer for it. I would believe those people over there that blew up all those innocent people in the airports and in the subway and whatever ought to have to answer for what they have done. And it won't be by the courts of men that that is done. It will be by the courthouse of God Himself, who is a righteous judgment, judger, And the Bible says that he will indeed has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in and through the person, that is Jesus Christ, whom he has risen from the dead. Whom he has risen from the dead. So in our text, in verses 42 and 44, he says, so also then is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown perishable. In other words, it will decay, it will rotten, it will spoil, but it will be raised imperishable. Now, I don't know if you understand God's eternal wisdom that is seen through the things that he has made, but he just showed you the whole context of his wisdom. Last November, nature went the rest. It was almost like it was dead, but they weren't. The trees didn't die, but they did go to rest. You see, God isn't the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. That means everyone who has died is still alive somewhere. And they're at rest. But they will come and there will be a resurrection just like you're seeing it now. The flowers are bursting forth. The trees are beginning to bring forth their leaves. And it's amazing, isn't it, that it's in the spring of the year that we are celebrating a resurrection. That which had gone to rest is now coming alive again. God has showed you that year after year after year. But you may not have eyes to see, and you may not have ears to hear. But you and I will be without excuse someday, because God has shown his eternal wisdom and his power and his Godhead through and by the things that he has created. It's all around us, the wisdom of God. It really is. And so when you and I look at Genesis 3:19, as I shared with you last week, remember God created Adam from the dust of the ground, and then the Bible says, from the dust you came, to the dust you shall return, right? That's the aspect of that which is physical. The physical body will decay, go back to the substance from came from. Do you know that they now know chemically that your body is made up of the same chemicals that are in clay? Exactly the same? You know that? Amazing? So as animals, you know that animals are made up of the same chemical substance as what is clay? You ever read in Genesis, the Bible says that God created all winged fowls from the water? You ever read that? You know the chemical substance of an ostrich, of a turkey, of a chicken is the same chemical substances that is found in water? Did you know that? Have you ever read the Bible to see and become a believer, or just read the Bible? You see, there are hidden things and concepts there that most people will never see. Simply because the devil, the prince of this world, blinds our eyes because he doesn't want us to see. But the one thing he doesn't want the world to see is the glory of the cross. You don't want to see the beauty of the gospel. That Jesus died, was buried, resurrected. He doesn't want anyone to see that, because if you see it truly with your heart, you'll fall in love with the one who died for you. And you'll catch a hold of the hope that he has given you. And that hope will become the anchor of your life that will get you through life. Yeah, don't tell me you don't have situations that you need an anchor. Every one of us has our storms, we have our winds, we have our floods, we have our problems and our difficulty. What keeps us there? What's going to hold our lives together? So as you and I go back to the transfiguration where Peter, James, and John went up into the mount, remember that? And the Bible says that they saw two other men there with Jesus. One was Elijah, one was Moses. And the Bible says they were transformed. That is a transfiguration. In other words, the Bible makes it clear that they appeared in their glorious state. They appeared in the state of glory. They went to sleep, you remember. They went off and they woke up and they saw them in their glory. They saw them in their glory. They saw them in a glorified state. Not a physical state, but in a state of glory. Paul speaks of this, if you will, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. He says, I show you a mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to the saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery to the Jews and to the Gentile, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, what he's simply referring to is that someday we are going to share in that glory. In other words, our body is going to be as it was planted in dishonor. It will be raised in glory. In other words, we're going to have the same type of body that Peter, James, and John saw Moses have, Elijah have, and Jesus appeared. Someday, I'm going to have that same kind of body. That's what the Bible promises me. And by faith, I believe that, you see. Philippians 3:20-21 says, "We are citizens of heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state," that is, we're going to be chained, "into conformity with the body of His glory, by the external element and the exertion of His power, that He has even to subject all things to Himself." Now think about it. Just by the fact that the power of the voice of the Son of God is going to raise everybody from the dead, that same power is invested in Jesus, and He has the power to transform us and change this body, physical body, into and grant a glorified element of body. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, we are the children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we will be like Him. When we see Him, we will be like Him." We will be changed. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if it means anything to you or not, but this is what it means to me. You see, I'm going to see my mother and dad someday again. I baptized both my mom and dad, and I know I'm going to see them again. I know where they are. They're with the Lord in paradise. And they're waiting for the resurrection day, just like all of us are. But the point is that there's going to be an unbelievable reunion of those who have died in Christ. I'm going to see my wife's mom and dad again. Yes, he was an elder. He's a godly man. And I mean, what I have to look forward to. What does the world have to look forward to? You know what they do? They do everything they can to rationalize every element of what really is the element of death. You see, to the Christian, death is gain. It's a victory. For me to be absent from this body is to be with the Lord. That's what it is. You see, I'm not going to die. Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, even though he was dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die." That's immortality. Jesus brought that to light. I have his immortality in me right now. I am an eternal being. Why? Because, you see, this is the seed. Everything out there has to add a seed, don't you? You know that every seed reproduces after its own kind? Huh? Isn't that true? You know what happens to a seed when you plant it in the ground? It dies. You know that death always precedes life? You understand that? Huh? You ever seen an acorn? Watch an acorn? They have it in a scientific way. Well, I remember seeing it. Acorn hard shell, you remember? They put it and immerse it in water, and they leave it in the water for a period of time. You know what happens to the outer shell of the acorn? Huh? It deteriorates. It rottens. You know what happens then? There's an embryo. There's a spout that comes forth out of that acorn. Isn't that amazing? Because there's life inside of that acorn, and it takes water to make that come to truth and the reality of it, right? Huh? You see, the point of it is, that's why Scripture teaches water baptism. You see, what you need to have put to death is the outer shell, you, the element of your flesh, the old man, the old nature, needs to be buried, put to death, and God showed us that you take a body and you immerse it and you bury it in water. And when it happens, then the embryo, Jesus, the Christ, comes through the Holy Spirit and enters into a person's body. And there is sprouted then within that individual the element of life eternal. Bible says you and be risen with Him, and the old man's crucified, the body of sin is destroyed, and you rise forth as a new creature in Christ, and you are and begin. Paul said it this way, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, is Christ, the embryo that lives in me." Are you hearing it? You see the context of Scripture? You want me to believe that these guys just originated everything that's in here? Huh? You want me to believe these guys come up with all these elements of the Greek word propitiation, justification? You think man, context within his heart and mind, could originate a concept of grace? Huh? You want me to believe that? That they could come up with the idea of grace? How gracious are the world, the people out there in the world, really? See, it isn't in man. It isn't in the hearts of man to give and write what's in this book. This book came from God's heart, not man's. And this book produces a concept of life, love, grace, justification, forgiveness, sanctification. Do you think they originated all those words? Or do you think God wants to speak to your heart and make you understand how much He really loves you and how much what He's prepared for you isn't down here? Eyes haven't seen or ears have heard what God's prepared for us. You know that? You know what you got waiting for you after you die? That's when life begins. You understand what I just said? Huh? What you're living right now is perishable. It's only temporary. But something that God has prepared for you is eternal. It's something beyond your dream imagination. There's no way. Paul got caught up into the third heaven. And when Paul was there, he said there isn't any words or utterances that could explain what I saw. Now, you want to miss it? Let me ask you this question. If you took all of sin and corruption out of the world, took it all out, all rape, all murder, you just take it all out, drugs, you name it, alcohol, make it all out, what kind of world would it be? Huh? But if you just took sin out of the world today, what kind of world would it be? Wouldn't it be a beautiful world? Huh? Wouldn't it? Yes? No? Huh? Wouldn't it be able to turn the TV on and every time you turn the TV on, you'd hear nothing but good news? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You picked up the Lansing, well, forget that. But the point of it is, I mean, think about the element of it. And that is indeed when you and I think about what God has planned up there in that context of life, there'll be no more murder, no more murder, no more lying, no more stealing. It is going to be heaven. You see, the church today is the kingdom of heaven, existing now, that's going to exist with Him eternally in the aspect of heaven. That's why it's called the kingdom of heaven. Because that's where we're going. Okay? Got it? So the point of it is, when Jesus was asked a question about a woman who had been married, her husband died, and back then on the law, the next brother was to take his wife and whatever, and there were seven brothers, and they all married the same woman. They died, then she finally died, and then they wanted to trick him and said, well, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Remember that? Remember that question? Remember that story? Yeah? And what did he say? He said in Luke 20, 34, 38, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to obtain to that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry or are they given in marriage, but they will be as angels. Well, as far as I understand, angels are eternal beings. They already share in mortality, the undying aspect. Because they are like angels and are sons of God, bringing forth sons of the resurrection, and therefore be sons of the resurrection. Now, he didn't say they'll be angels. He said we will be like angels. Okay? Now, I know some people already that are angels. Because they're always up in the air harping about something. But that the dead are raised, Jesus said. Even Moses showed that in this passage, in the aspect of the burning bush, he said these words, he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living, for we all live to him. The aspect of it is that Abraham's still alive. Abraham's alive. So is Jacob. So is Isaac. So is whatever. And so is my mom. So is my dad. So is my... I don't know. That just gives my heart a fervor that I can reach beyond this earth and this world and the temporary, and I can set my mind on things that are eternal and what is yet to come. And that's what I live for. Got it? I hope so. Because when you and I look at the aspects of the aspect, there's a fact is that Jesus came into this world for one reason, and that was to bring the world salvation. Jesus didn't come in the world to condemn it. He came in the world to save it. He came in the world to save it. And to that salvation, the prophets, Isaiah and others, wrote. They prophesied of the grace that would come and make, and they themselves made careful search and inquiries in it, wanting to know the person or the time of the Spirit of Christ that was within them, guiding their thoughts and predicting the suffering of Christ and the glories that was to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but us. Every aspect of what those prophets and those people and the angels were looking into is what God has given to the church, to the kingdom. You are sharing, and you and I participating in what those people looked into and wanted and desired and don't have the privilege of being a part of. But God has revealed it to us, that we can share in it. And in those things which have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things to which angels long to look and were longing to look in. And what were they longing? To see the glory that was to follow. The glory that was to follow. You see, if you look at the context of that passage, and he says, you fool. That's pretty strong words, you know that? He said, well, you're fool. Fools? Don't you understand that everything has to have a seed? Huh? And the seed has to do what? Die. And then comes life, the embryo, right? Inside the seed brings forth the life, right? Now what happens? Right? What? How many of you plant a garden? Huh? What happens if it gets too much water, whatever, not enough sunlight? You think about every aspect of it. Even though that seed dies, it won't bring forth life. There are certain elements that have to be there, and they have to function and work together to accomplish life. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Paul says, you fool, nothing comes to life unless it dies. So that which you sow, he says, you don't sow the body that is to be. He says, the seed that you're going to plant, what is he saying? This body is the seed that God in his eternal wisdom, I'm going to be planted someday in 6 foot underneath, whatever, I don't know. But the point of it is, you have to have a seed to plant. It has to die. And then as it dies, as nature itself teaches us even right now, that seed to plant, inside of it there is life, and it will come forth. God's eternal wisdom and power and attributes are seen through the aspect of what you and I experience every day of our lives. I'm going to die. Thank God I'm going to. I want this seed planted. Why? So it can be raised. It can be changed. And how fast is it going to happen? In a twinkling of an eye. That which has been planted is planted immortal. It will be immortal. It will be raised immortal. So the process is that you and I are living in a seed that God created when he created Adam. The first Adam brought death. The second Adam, remember we read it, is Christ, and he brought life. He brought eternal life. He also then is the aspect of the light, isn't he? Don't we have to have light? When a plant busts forth from the ground, I mean, it's amazing to me. Marilyn puts plants in the window where the sun is, and what happens to the plant? It starts growing toward the sun, right? The window. Huh? That's as that light, though, doesn't it? Did Jesus say, I'm the light of the world? Huh? Did he say that? So when a person is then came forth and you and I start growing spiritually, who are we going to grow toward? So it only seems logical that the same spirit that exists in Christ, that exists through here, is going to do what? It's going to begin a process of transforming me. Even right now, I'm being transformed in the inner man into the very image and the likeness of Jesus Christ, because that's whom I'm drawn to. That makes sense? You know, you become like the people you associate with. Psychologists have proven that the 5 closest people that you associate your life with are the people that dictate who you have become. You know that? Huh? So, you know, the Bible said, don't fool yourself. You associate with evil companions, they'll corrupt you. That's what it says, okay? So, you mean I better be careful to whom I run with? Now, you want to believe it. I guarantee you, just sit down, evaluate your closest friends, and see how much their attitude is yours. See how much how they look at the world is how you look at the world. See how much they've influenced you and have dictated who you have become. That all started way back in our little teenage years, didn't it? Huh? Didn't it? How many of us became something we really didn't want to become, but we wanted to be accepted? You see, this man stands before you as a person who came out of that world. My folks were alcoholics. I was not raised in a Christian environment. I wasn't at all. I had a lot of evil people that was associated in my life, but somehow or other, inside of this little heart of mine, I began to be able to see that that is not what God wanted for me. It really wasn't. And the aspects of that element is that I decided within myself that I didn't have to be like that, and I dictated that I wasn't going to be. You know, I know a lot of kids have been raised in alcoholics and they end up alcoholics. I was raised in an alcoholic coma. I have never drank a beer in my life. I made the choice. I said, nobody can tell me that life isn't a choice. You make choices. We all make choices and we all choose who we are going to be. I choose what kind of husband I'm going to be to my wife. You know that, don't you? Huh? Right? You choose how and what kind of wife you're going to be to your husband. Right? Right? And, yeah. So if you watch a lot of soap operas, what are you going to see? I'm sorry, I shouldn't even brought that up. But let me just close with these ideas. If we have borne the image of the earthly, we will bear the image of the heavenly. We will. We will. I mean, there is no ifs and ands about it. If you're sitting here in my hearing, you have borne the image of the earthly. You will be raised from the dead someday, and you and I, all of us, will be judged according to what we have done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Right? Let me just tell you this. What you shared this morning in singing and what we share in this is that God took care of all that for me. And that he let his son go to the cross and take my sins in his body and pay the price for me. Because I couldn't do it. Neither can you. Neither can you. And there is an enemy and a power in the world that you cannot overcome. The spiritual forces of the world are unbelievable. You see it every day. Deny it if you will. But there is those individuals who are under the power of the evil one. Okay? I mean, they are. And they are of a kingdom of darkness. And that darkness is prevailing more and more in this world that you and I live in. But thank God, somewhere along the light, we saw the light. I saw the light. I decided to come out of darkness and allow God to transfer me out of that kingdom into his. And in that kingdom, I'm now walking in the light as he is the light. I no longer am of the world of darkness. In fact, because of God's word and his spirit, I see darkness for what it is. I see what it is. And I hate it like God does. You have to, every week I am dealing with people, marriages and individuals and young people who are being enslaved to the power of darkness. And God help me to have the wisdom to help them to see the light and desire to come out of it because Jesus came to set the captive free. To allow you and I to be able to come out of that world into light and live like free people. Free people. That's what this book is all about. There isn't a psychologist or a psychiatrist or anybody that can give you what God offers you. Freedom. Freedom. When all my labors and trials are over and I am on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will all through the ages be glory for us. All of us, okay? All that will be glory for me, for us. Glory for us, glory for us. When by his grace I shall look on his face, oh, that will be glory. Glory for us. When you see him, remember, when he comes, the Bible says, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. That means those Roman soldiers that drove the nails in his hand will have been risen from the dead for them to be able to see him. Right? 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 And every eye will see him. And at that point in time, we're going to be changed. So what are you doing right now? May I say it in love as much as I can? You're choosing where you're going to spend eternity. That's all. Isn't that what we're all doing? We get right down to the nitty-gritty of it as far as this is. Why in the world did Jesus come to die on the cross? For nothing? Or did he die and come and pay a price for you and me because he realized that we needed to be saved from something? And that was indeed to be saved from ourselves. You see, you're the biggest enemy. The biggest problem you got, you look at every morning in the mirror. Right? Isn't that true? Come on. Isn't that true? You suppose that's why Jesus said the two great commandments, number one is to love God with your whole being. You know what the second one is? Is to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, you can't love yourself when you're mistreating other people. You understand what I just said? You can't. You treat other people like dirt, you'll feel like dirt. You start treating and living like Christ, and you start doing what he did and act in his life and be transformed, I guarantee you, your countenance will rise. And you'll feel like getting up every morning. And you won't have to take a lot of those pills you're taking anymore, because God will give you a peace that the world can't give to you. It's called a peace that passes all understanding. Now, I don't know what you're looking for, but I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to Jesus coming. And every Lord's Day, we meet around his table. And the Bible says as often as we do this, we show the Lord's death until he comes. So every Lord's Day, we preach he's coming. We believe he is. We believe he is. And if you're a Christian today, God bless you. I mean, I just know the joy of what I've shared today has just probably been a little bit of fervor within you to keep on living, right? And fight the good fight of faith that you might receive the crown of life. And if you're not a Christian and you want to be, let me know. We have an in-home Bible study. We'll come in and teach you. I don't like just letting people not understand, because the Bible says, make disciples. That's make a learner, a follower. Then baptize them. And then you teach them to be able to observe and follow and obey every command that Jesus has given us. Understand the principle? I live that commission. That's my life. It really is. And if you want that, I'd be happy to come in your home, sit down with you, spend a few weeks with you, and study until you come to know in your heart what God has asked you to do. Okay? Let's stand together. We're going to sing together our closing chorus, a song, a hymn. It is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And make decisions today. Just let the Spirit of God help you and make you and convict you that wherever you are in your life, if you're not where you ought to be, just say, God, help me to get there. Because he will. Let's sing.